Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Good.
We're going to try to improve the world with
the
waving of a wand. But I think we understand the challenge as well as anybody. But I think challenges are made there to motivate you, not to discourage us. We have a lot of motivation because we know we need to change things. And we do. You know, a couple of months ago, we were pointing out there's removal of regulations and lockdowns and mandates, and the economy was picking up. But right now, all of a sudden, we hear noises that those who have sort of been losing this argument, that never wanted to lighten up on the mandates, all of a sudden, I think they're on the defensive again. But I guess my concern is they're doing pretty well, you know, clawing back and getting hold of things. And under these circumstances, arguing the case that we have to put all that stuff back on.
Yeah.
And totally ignoring civil liberties and, just bluntly saying civil liberties, you can't protect civil liberties and take care of the people, so we have to sacrifice civil liberties. Sacrificing liberty is not a problem if you're protecting freedom. So they're back at it again. And guess what? Our president is not on our side on this.
No, I would say he's
all for the people who have argued the case that we need more of the regulations. So soon we will find out who's going to win this, but I think logic is on our side. The economy arguments are on our side. The Constitution is on our side. But something isn't quite on our side. The ability for the opposition to the freedom movement have a lot of people, a lot of noise, and they've been able to get that message out and use the tactics that are so necessary, and that is the scare tactics. Terrorism, scare the people to death, because you're all going to die if you don't do what we tell you. So I think the competition there, I think we understand. I think the other side actually believe as strongly in what they're doing as we do in ours, except for the organizer. The organizers know exactly what they're doing because their goal is chaos. But the others, the ones who join, I think many of them come around to, especially those who are frightened about losing their jobs. They've been frightened about illness, and they're willing to go along. But that should be a challenge and not a discouragement to us.
Yeah, what we're talking about is Jeffrey Zients. I think his name is Zients, He's the Biden coronavirus response coordinator. And he did a press conference yesterday with Fauci and Walensky. And he said, hey, it's great. We've been offering you $100 if you get the shot. I think California offered you some marijuana. Maybe some states offer you a girlfriend if you get the shot. But this is not enough because not every single person is willing to take that shot in their arm. And as we know, Rand Paul, Thomas Massey, so on and so on, have pointed out over and over, and of course all the scientists have pointed out that if you have had the infection, you have natural immunity. Vaccines themselves are based on trying to mimic natural immunity that people get. That was the whole way they started vaccines. But no, that's not the case. You have to get it. And so he said, in addition to incentives, and this is pretty chilling when you think about the fact that there is an iron fist in the velvet glove. In addition to incentives, it's time to impose some requirements, is what he said. And he said, based on the different risks that unvaccinated individuals pose versus those who have been vaccinated, we're going to have to pose some requirements. And that's also interesting because we've been talking about what the CDC itself put out over the weekend, which is that 74% of the people who got COVID in Massachusetts, they were vaccinated. So I wonder about those risks. They're trying to have it both ways. But what they're saying now is they're moving toward forced vaccination. And they're hitting the low-hanging fruit right first. If you're a federal employee, we're going to tell you, okay, we can't exactly tell you you've got to sit still while we put the needle in your arm, but you're going to have to wear a mask all day, get tested twice a week, et cetera, et cetera.
And I think what you say points out that the detail of the argument that is crucial is the science.
Yeah.
You know, they believe they're citing science, and we happen to think their science is off base. And I think that is the big issue. And of course, there's some people that have other motivations too, other than digging for the truth. But this has also incited, Pelosi and others to join in. You'd think they would, if there was a momentum in their district, they'd modify a little bit. And I thought maybe that's the reason why some of the governors did modify their positions. I think we saw some favorable changes within our own governor when the people started saying, look, we're sick and tired of this. You jumped too fast, and it was unnecessary. Now we have these statistics that show that there's no benefit from it. And this whole thing that there's no difference between unvaccinated and vaccinated. So even if you're vaccinated, it means nothing. So it looks like they threw their whole science out the window. And they say, well, we just need more vaccinations, and that'll take care of it. But they challenge the whole principle. Some people, like myself, believe that there are certain vaccinations that are very important.
Yeah.
But so why should, they destroy the whole dependency and say, people will look at this and say, I'm never going to touch a vaccine again. Because they say that they've been lied to, and they have been.
Yeah.
So it is difficult. And that's why more and more people, including myself, I drift away from, the tolerance of the vaccinations, but I also have used them too,
know.
And and we shouldn't be terrified of them, but sorting it out, this is why I've continuously say we shouldn't mix medical science with politicians.
Politics.
Especially the politicians who are getting financed by the government. And then when you look at who paid for the development of the virus, all of a sudden you get involved with foreign aid and foreign dictates, and you have Fauci's dictating the rules, and all of a sudden it's all political. There's very little science involved in what we've been doing the last year and a half.
Well, what Zients also said, and we talked about it, is any federal worker or contractor who remains unvaccinated will have to wear a mask and get tested twice a week. And that's awfully convenient, because we know the PCR can be turned up and turned down, so they can get cases whenever they want it. And here's what he said. He said, it's very simple. If you want to work with the federal government, get your workers vaccinated. And that's force. And I do wonder what would happen if a million federal workers and contractors just walked off the job and said, we're not going to do it. You know, that would be power. That would be power to the people. That would be people power. But Biden himself now is showing fangs to the extent that he's able to do that. He said he's seeking confirmation whether the entire country can be mandated to get a vaccine. He said, quote, it's still a question whether the federal government can mandate the whole country. I don't know that yet. But he said he is seeking to clarify that. So clearly in his mind, he would like to have a legal fig leaf to have stormtroopers come neighborhood to neighborhood forcing vaccines in people's arms, and which is pretty dangerous. And in fact, you might say this must be a crisis worse than last year, because no one was talking about forcing people to take it last year. So let's look at the first clip, Dr. Paul. And here is the Delta variant. Here are daily new cases. And you can see, yes, there is an increase in cases in July. There is no question about it. There is an increase in cases. But look at the next one. What we're seeing with the Delta variant, as they call it, there is very little increase in deaths. In fact, it is a small fraction of what we saw last summer in terms of deaths. So they are basically doing a bait and switch. It's a casedemic that we talked about all year. It feels like we're in a deja vu. We talked about casedemic. This is exactly what they're doing. But they're not going to let this so-called crisis go to waste.
You know, we have the issue of the unreliability of the test. But there was a recent study, if we've cited already. It was small, but it was very emphatic. They had like 100 people admitted to the hospital. One half of them didn't have the vaccine. One half had the vaccine, the other half did not.
Mm-hmm.
And the death rate was exactly the same, showing the vaccinations didn't help at all. And yet they still argue the case. Well, if you're vaccinated, you're not going to have it, but there's no protection. But then they say, well, we have discovered, which with the test, it raises a lot of questions. Well, we have discovered people who have been vaccinated might be the biggest carriers of the virus and spreading it. Same way with kids. Kids don't get sick, but they may be the bad people. They may be carrying the virus and spreading it around. And that's why now the kids are going back this year. That's why the schools look like they're going to put them on masks in some places. And the unions are pushing it hard. They want to see the masks being used.
Well, we can thank Don Huffines, actually, because I think if Abbott didn't hear footsteps behind him of a real conservative challenging him for governor, who knows what he'd do. But and he knows that he's in trouble if he does anything. But one other thing on this, Dr. Paul, before we move on, and that's Jen Psaki, because this really struck me as something very interesting, because, you know, language is very important. Words do matter. And she was asked yesterday what new COVID rules and restrictions might be implemented. Are we going to go back to lockdowns? Are we going to go back to an Australian-style police state? You know, a reporter asked her, what's going to happen? And she said, quote, nothing is off the table. Although she said, we're not looking at lockdowns, quote, nothing is off the table. And that struck me very strange because, you know, remember, Dr. Paul, whenever the U.S. was gearing up to bomb another country, they would always say, nothing is off the table, nothing is off the table. And you do sort of feel like you're going to be on the receiving end of a bomb.
A nuclear bomb
when someone says that. So very strange choice of words.
Right.
In that.
So did you have anything else on people who might be a hypocrite these days? And you saw a couple of them doing that.
Well, I hate to say this, Dr. Paul, our illustrious Speaker of the House, she's the one who imposed a mask mandate. Put up that next clip.
I'm disappointed.
I know. She seems great. She loves liberty so much, she's crying right now. But Nancy Pelosi repeatedly seen maskless after ordering masks again in the Capitol. And if you read the article, it's on Breitbart, at least three times with photographs, she's over there without a mask on. And hey, that's great, but it's just another example. Do what I say, not what I do.
Right.
Those are your leaders.
You know, I want to turn all these things into a positive. This is positive because maybe we just reached out to another 1,000 people that was not aware of this, and they're going to say, what a creep,
you know?
So, no, the bad news, what people are doing, if there's a determination out there of people trying to figure out what's really going on, this is going to be helpful. And the more desperate, I guess, the dumber they're going to get.
Yeah.
And they've been doing a lot of dumb things. I wanted to go on and talk about, an interview with Newsmax reporter.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And this has to do with testing and all. And the article says, the headline was, Watch White House Hack Completely Fall Apart When Newsmax Reporter Emerald Robinson Asked How CDC Is Testing For The Delta Variant.
That's a
good
question.
I've brought this up before, and I've never had a satisfactory answer. I'm glad he asked this question. How do you know all these statistics they're pouring out? People are in a panic. It's worse than the first time. There's more cases than ever. And, of course, they have no statistics that are worth anything, to say that it's caused more deaths or it causes more hospitalization. It's back to this whole thing. You know, at the beginning of this pandemic or whatever it is, people were admitted for all kinds of reasons, but the death certificates all had COVID on as the cause of death. And they've learned a little bit about that. But on this case, the Newsmax reporter asked, how do you know, about this, that you're dealing with that?
With Delta, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a clip on the internet on that. I don't have the clip, but I think it's interesting. It's very simple and to the point because the first thing is she becomes very flustered.
Yeah.
Oh, you think, that's all we're talking about is this overrunning of the Delta. And, so she's flustered. She doesn't know how to answer it. She says, maybe spread by, This and Newsmax pressed her all right, and the first person said, she ends with, how do you know that he pushed her?
Oh, yeah,
yeah. She says, well, the experts say so. So my question is, who's experts?
Yeah,
her experts. her experts. Yeah. And she said that as if that is the full answer. And of course, the interpretation from Emerald Robinson, who did the interview, he says that the Biden administration is unable to provide any proof that Delta variant is real. And White House Deputy Press Secretary just admitted in a press briefing that she has no idea if there's even a test for it.
Yeah.
And I don't believe there is, because the test, I'm not convinced that the test, if you go back a year and a half now and look at all the tests that were done to identify and develop all these statistics, I don't think there's an accurate measurement of what was going on, because there were a lot of questions on the test already. Now, this is even more so to test this variant. So it's more the same propaganda, fear mongering, and scaring the people. And most, unfortunately, I think too many of them are going to get frightened. But we're aiming for the fact that people will change their minds if they hear the facts. That to me is the most important thing. It's the only tool we have.
Yeah.
Is trying to figure it out. If we don't know about it, just ask the question. Because that's originally, I don't think we have that. Well, we're getting to a final answer on this.
Yeah, yeah.
But before, it was just a question. Because I was very curious. I wonder how they know this.
Yeah.
I mean, because this virus is hard to identify. It's hard to reproduce in a laboratory. How do you know for sure? And evidently, they don't know for sure.
Or at least she wasn't prepared for the question, which, as you say, that's the same thing I'm thinking. I'm not saying there's no such thing. I'm curious. Well, how do you know? It's an honest question. You'd think that she would have an answer somehow, at least even something for the layman like me to understand, okay, well, we do this and that and the other. She said, well, no idea. It's very, very strange. But I think we're going to move on to something that's even darker, you know, and this is just this past month, two more D.C. police officers who were involved in the January 6th insurrection. Remember, that was worse than the Civil War, or at least as bad as the Civil War, according to Biden. Two more of them have committed suicide, bringing the total number of police officers that were involved in January 6th to four officers committing suicide. And this is a big mystery.
And to me, this is the perfect place to make our point that we've just tried to make, and that is trying to get the information. I would really like to know. But because I've been interested in always reading and trying to study and to try to fully understand the suicide rate of our veterans after they come back from battle. And there's all kinds of explanations for that. And I have my own personal thing, but it's an opinion. And I imply that possibly there's an issue of guilt for some people that they were involved in certain things that all of a sudden they thought, maybe I shouldn't have done it. And that's a hard thing to erase. It's a hard thing to prove.
Yeah.
Whatnot. So I don't know. But this raised question. Four, I bet you percentage-wise, I remember early on after the Kennedy assassination and investigation, and all of a sudden a year later, how many people had committed suicide or died at an early age?
Yeah.
They didn't all commit suicide. Had a heart attack, 37 years old, had a heart attack, you know, this sort of thing. So this should be looked at. But what about this? It really raises the question, you know, there is some information on how that one death was occurred. And I think they've been a little bit disappointed that it didn't turn out to be a Trump supporter being involved in Ashley Babbitt being killed.
Yeah.
But there is some information out there, but quite frankly, I couldn't give a talk on it. Well, this is what happened.
Yeah.
This is who did it. And we've fully investigated it, and there will be some charges made. I don't think we're at that point.
No, and they, you know, we know that there are 14,000 hours of video out there of what happened. They refused to release it. And they, in fact, they're still refusing to release potentially exculpatory information and videos to the defendants of people that have been held in jail in solitary confinement since January. And in fact, judges are starting to get irritated because they say you don't have any evidence. and you won't even give any evidence. But it's really interesting. Some videos are coming out, and I watched several times yesterday on Twitter, people have posted a video of the police officer striking first. The crowd was there. Yes, it was there. It was a rowdy crowd, but there was no violence. And then the police threw a couple of flashbang grenades into the crowd. And then you heard people start cursing, blank you, mad at the police officer. So I don't know the full story at all, but we're seeing things like this that are creeping out. And it does make you wonder if some of these police officers knew something fishy was going on, knew that the orders were to provoke people into doing something because they needed to have the narrative to crack down. It is a big question.
You know, sometimes there's a murder that occurs, it's somebody that's well known, and there might be one snapshot, and that is it. They'll dwell on it, and they will work out the scenario and everything. Thousands and thousands of hours of this, and it's not just still pictures, these are videos.
Yeah.
And my guess is, of course, this is really stretching it, that maybe they weren't all radical Trump supporters.
Yeah.
maybe they were just citizens going for what this curiosity thing goes. But the one thing for sure, which has been grossly overstated, is the insurrection part.
Yeah.
You know, somebody produced a picture, I guess, back several decades ago that there was a bomb. Somebody set off a bomb in the Senate chamber.
Yeah.
And showed the destruction of chamber, and nobody's ever mentioned that.
Yeah.
It's always what happened on the 6th being the worst since the Civil War.
Yeah.
You know, this sort of thing. So they have control of that scenario. I don't know. I just think it's the information. It's a darn shame. You know, they finally got to look at the tapes on Nixon, and maybe we'll finally get to look at the tapes on what really happened on January 6th.
The big question is, where's Trump? He hasn't said anything in these people's defense. Where are the Republicans? Where there were a couple that are demanding this information, but not very many of them. They're all intimidated and terrified. This is a time when courage is important, and there's not a lot of courage up there in D.C. So I think we want to talk about, speaking of places where there's not a lot of courage, the Bay Area, San Francisco. You had something on mandatory masking, et cetera, et cetera.
In two places, both San Francisco and Cuomo. This guy, I think he's in the Northeast. And they want to impose more mandatory masking, as Cuomo demands. Private businesses. Oh, okay, we can't say anything about that. It's off limits because we're libertarians and we believe in private property and we don't believe in regulating speech or anything else what they do. So if they just happen to have a cozy relationship with the government, they get money and support, we're not supposed to know about that or mention it because, you know, they're private. They're private and you've got to, above all else, protect the First Amendment.
Yeah.
So if you don't do exactly as they tell you, you get canceled and your First Amendment rights seem to be violated. And that is the case. They are being violated because it's a pretty cozy, and that's a mild term, relationship between the government agents and the social media. But the way I see it, and it makes it easier for me to understand, is that social media, the collection of all this data, which has been done with the assistance of our government, and certainly our government has benefited by all the information that they get. They're just a CIA operation, as far as I'm concerned, and providing this information for the government.
Yeah.
So they should not have the ability to blackball somebody and say, well, strike him from 80% of his chance of his message just getting out. He can't sell books or do anything else.
Yeah.
There was a time when this country had a lot more respect for the First Amendment. And fortunately, we do see a few people who were from the left and a few people that were left-leaning libertarians have said they've had enough of this and they should come together. But you've already pointed out a point. Well, where's Trump? Where's Trump?
Yeah, yeah.
And there should be support. So I think it has to be people that have an independent spirit in them and be apolitical. If you're looking for the truth in some of these things, I think you literally have to become apolitical. And I don't think that term was ever applied to me, but I sort of felt apolitical in my time. I felt I'm here for a reason, and that's to see if I could figure out what's going on really behind the scenes. And I did my best.
Yeah.
I could.
Well, you know, Cuomo has got a lot of nerve. First, he kills thousands of old people in rest homes, right? Then God knows what he was doing with all these ladies. There's a lot of cases about that. But so then he comes back and announces basically medical apartheid. You know, businesses, I'm encouraging you, wink, wink, to have only your services available to vaccinated people. So if you decide not to take an experimental medication, you can't go to the store, you can't go to the theater, you can't go get groceries, you can't go to work. This is very serious. And now the masks are back in San Francisco. In fact, I had a great little clip, if we can put that next clip on, about San Francisco. Because, you know, visual is very important. Now here's Rochelle Walensky, the CDC director. I want to be clear. The majority of COVID-19 spread in the U.S. is among the unvaccinated. Vaccinated people can spread the virus if they get a breakthrough infection, but the odds of them getting sick in the first place are far lower than those who are unvaccinated. And then here's Ian in South Carolina that we talk about a lot. He says, hey, Rochelle, can you please explain San Francisco, where 86% of everyone over 12 is at least partially vaccinated? Thanks so much. And you look at the clip and you see San Francisco skyrocketing cases. 86%, I think anyone would say that's herd immunity. Even Fauci would say that's herd immunity, and the cases are going up like mad. So something, there is some disconnect between what Walensky is saying and what objective facts that everyone agrees are facts are showing us.
You know, if we try to list a few things that we could say we have learned and we do know, I think that one would be that there's no proof that the vaccines did any good. You know, yeah. if it had been, they wouldn't have to even suggest that you have to get more and more and that you have to wear masks.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And then, give you money here. Yeah.
Yeah. There's the other thing. Would the mask really, are the masks really helpful? And there's a lot of good science that questions it, claiming that the penetration of viruses through those, most of the masks that people use occurred.
Yeah.
You know, or didn't, you know, it didn't filter out any of the viruses. Yeah. So it's a shame because a lot of people have been terrified. If I had 2 years ago, if you would have sat down and said, this is what's going to happen, you were Nostradamus and you said, this is what's going to happen and this is how bad it's going to be. You know, 75% of the people are going to roll over and take the vaccine and there'll be these question marks, but they'll still, and then you'll say, well, you compare it to the deaths and so many other diseases and accidents and everything else. Well, that sounds like a problem, but it sounds pretty minor compared to what we face every single day.
Yeah, of course. Well, you know, coward of the week, I guess, I would say Asa Hutchinson, but we're not prepared to talk about him. He's a bad, bad guy. But let's put up this next one, because Louisiana is on yours, and we didn't mention it. Their governor, it's a red state with a blue governor. He has reimposed an indoor mask mandate. Governor John Bel Edwards, pertains to everyone 5 and up. Put your mask back on, because it did so good last time to get rid of Rona. But let's look at Louisiana. Let's look at, in reality, Louisiana. Let's look at the next clip, if we can. Yes, there are a lot of cases. A lot of people now are lining up at those previously empty testing centers to get their PCR tests. Cases are up. But let's look at deaths. Or death, they should be way up if they have to reimpose. No, they're up a little bit, yeah. You get a lot of cases, some people are going to die. We don't know if those people are with COVID or from COVID. There are some cases. But one other thing we do know, if we can look at this next chart, because I referenced this yesterday, Dr. Paul, but I didn't have the chart. If I don't know if we can, I think this is powerful and it's hard to see, but this is 2020 to 2021 COVID deaths by age. Look at that blue line at the top. That's all you need to see. Those are people 85 and older who died of COVID. It's terrible. It's a tragedy. It's very sad if it's a loved one. But look at how it's skewed to older people. And look down at the bottom of the chart. Those are young people. You just don't see any blue at all. And that's something I wish our leaders, our experts, our science would keep in perspective.
You know what? I have to argue my case. Being young and old is something. But you can overcome that chart if you're young at heart.
Yes, exactly. And if you're smart and you're out walking in the Texas heat.
Right. Go ahead.
Well, my final thing, I was just going to show one thing, Dr. Paul. I haven't showed you this before because I want to get your reaction. I know it's going to be wild. But this is News 9 in Australia. Put up this last clip. If we can just make it a little bigger. Coronavirus update. Parents need to keep distance from their children. Australia really is the North Korea of the world. It makes North Korea look like Switzerland, I think.
Just think of what it could be like, you know. And I think on our blogging, I do read our blogs, not all of them, but I did. But a couple came from Australia. They said, please come to Australia. Yeah. Wake up our people. Yeah. So it must be terrible. And here's a country, they have a lot of room in Australia.
Yeah.
It's sort of like there's a lot of room in the western part of this country, and we've done a lot better until we got to the coast. Then it got a little congested out there. But the rest, you know, the open room is a benefit to get outdoors and get the sunshine. But Australia, I'm sort of disappointed. But I'm disappointed with Canada, too. But I'm disappointed with our government, too.
Yeah.
But Canada, you know, I keep thinking, because I had a positive attitude, at least in a narrow sense, during the Vietnam War, because people who on principle said that we shouldn't be in Vietnam, and they could go to Canada and they were protected, but they've long time forgotten about civil liberties there. And I would say that the transition in our country is not a good transition, but the true believers are popping up, and that's what we need, more true believers, because they're the ones who can influence the others.
Yes. I'm all done, Dr. Paul.
Well, very good. I want to thank our viewers for tuning in today, and please come back soon.